during an uncharacteristically aggressive Patriots offseason.
The Patriots are going to be extremely and uncharacteristically aggressive in this offseason.
It's time for Tuesday with Tommy Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Aggression Kiki.
Tommy Curran joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, and he is brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tommy, we're 2 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. You wrote about how this is a bit of a gamble, and it is every year in a way, but this year the stakes are a little different. Do you think we're going to have a lot of GMs in the top five or six losing their hair over their options on Thursday night?
And this is based off of a conversation I had with Thomas Dimitroff, former GM of the Falcons, of course, a Patriots executive. There's just so little information. Think about it. Whether it's Trey Lance or Micah Parsons or even Justin Fields, there are so many gaps with these players. And teams are about to make picks in the top 10 on these players and determine whether or not they want to have them as linchpins of their teams. And to me, yeah, I think they're going to be tearing their hair out. And I think there are many teams that think, you know, in chaos, there is opportunity, Rich Keith. And there is some chaos here, especially with the gaps in these guys' developments.
Now, don't you think, Tomo, that every year it is obviously such a difficult task, and that's why GMs come and go across the league and, you know, quarterbacks are constantly changing? Because I understand what you're saying with, you know, Justin Fields didn't play a full season. Trey Lance only played one game, and, you know, the combine and all that stuff was different this year. But there's been years where you've had everything and still Mitch Trubisky goes 2 overall, or, you know, Jamarcus Russell goes number 1 overall. So at some point, don't teams just kind of overthink what they do anyway?
Oh, 100%. And there's mistakes made by the dozen. But contrast this to shopping for a house. This is basically looking at it from the street relative to what is done in a normal year.
It's like waiving the inspection.
Yeah. This is... that place looks pretty good. I mean, Trey Lance is 20 years old. He played one game against Central Arkansas in 2020, and he didn't look that great. And even in 2019, 28 touchdowns, no picks. In that season, there's plenty of throws you go, oh, he's going to have a way to go. There's a 3 or 4 year maturation process, I think, with him. At least 3. 4 might be aggressive. But if you're the Niners, do you want to attach a team that's that talented right now, despite the injuries it had last year, to a player like that? You just go simple with McCorkle.
Tommy Gerd of NBC Sports Boston with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Did the comments of Kyle Shanahan yesterday catch you by surprise at all? And do you read it that, well, Jimmy G is going to be gone one way or another?
Yeah, and I think that we have all concluded and waded through their smoke screens about what they're ultimately going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo throughout this offseason. I mean, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If you act like you're going to replace your $25 million quarterback who's been injured for 23 of the 48 games he's been there and continually gets broken, and you bring in not just Josh Rosen, but Nate Sudfeld and give him kind of a fat contract for a backup, and you have Josh Johnson, and then you're going to draft somebody at number 3 overall, he's gone. But what I think is interesting, see if you guys agree, this isn't going to happen until June, July, or August, probably June. They can't pull the ripcord on Jimmy Garoppolo until they know that whoever steps in is going to be capable of running the team in September.
Yeah, I wondered if they wanted an extra pick for this year, but you're right. It might be smarter to do it later on, although I don't know. Trading 3 first-round picks to move up and maybe draft Mac Jones seems idiotic to me anyway.
Well, but I think there's a couple of things, Tommy. Number one is there's going to be, you would think, and there's a bunch of veteran free agents out there right now, if they're going to move on from Garoppolo and free up, let's say, $15 million in usable cap space, you know, do the Niners look at maybe moving on from Garoppolo as a way to either lock up some of their own or to fortify the roster? Because for them, when they move on from Garoppolo, there's a huge chunk of money that's opened up.
There is, but you know, I think most guys have landed wherever they're going to land on the free agent market. I would have to check. I've been kind of off that. I haven't been very free agent.
No, you're right. Yeah, there, a lot of guys have signed. Yeah, go ahead.
But I would just stick with Garoppolo on this, just so that the listeners understand the landscape a little bit better. He has a no-trade clause. So wherever the Niners decide they want to ship him, he has to say okay to it. And wherever they ship him, the team that's acquiring him has to probably take his contract immediately, right away. They have to accept it. And then maybe they can do a readjustment. Or does Jimmy Garoppolo get released and he picks his destination? If I'm him, I take a trade. And then I say, if it's the New England Patriots, they trade, they give up a third rounder for him sometime down the road. They bring him in and they say, all right, $25 million over the next 2 years, $48 million. We're not doing that, bud. But we'll give you $3 and $39 million. We'll give you a quick extension here. And I think that's what he has to be amenable to, because he's not getting the 2 years of $25 million each when he breaks all the time.
Yeah, that's just something we talked about in the first hour, or we debated a little bit. If he ends up just getting cut by the Niners, like they can't figure, he won't take a pay cut and they just say, all right, screw it, and he's available. How much do you think he could get?
10.
Wow. Yeah, I thought it was more than that. That's what Gresh said. Yeah. I thought it was more like 15 or 18.
Well,
even.
Basically, Tommy, where Rich and I come down on it is the leverage. Like, if Garoppolo goes to free agency, he loses his leverage. At least with the no trade, he's got the ability to control how much money he would make before he decides, okay, I'm willing to go there.
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah. So that's why he should take a trade with his contract if he cares about the money. If he cares about the situation, well, then maybe he doesn't care about being released and picks his spot. But again, most of the chairs are filled right now. And Teddy Bridgewater and Marcus Mariota, they all belong under the same umbrella, along with Jimmy. Which one do you want? Because certainly Bridgewater is going to be on the move too. But, I mean, those are all upgrades to Cam Newton. But neither is the solution, certainly not Bridgewater, I don't think, the long-term solution to the Patriots' void. I know that's how they feel as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we eventually have to find the solution. We can keep duct taping it, and we can go with higher level duct tape if we want. But at some point, we have to find a 5 to 10 year solution to the position.
Is there a guy with all this draft work leading up to Thursday night that you want the Patriots to take?
It's weird because you get into this situation where you're trying to predict what they would take.
Yeah.
And there's so you get away from what I would like as a observer of the team wanting to see it be good would take. So I think that they should go corner personally because of the landscape with Gilmore and JC Jackson. And there are some good ones there. I think they need to be better in the pass rush. And I think that Isaiah Wynn and Trent Brown, I wouldn't bet on either of those guys. So you have three great opportunities, linebacker, corner, and on the tackle spots to make your team way better at critical positions that nobody's going to get excited about.
Speaking of Stephon Gilmore, any update there at all? What's going on with it? There's, again, no way he's going to play for the current deal that he's on.
Yeah, that's the thing. He wants to be here. You know, I've been told that there is no wavering on that. He wants to play for the Patriots. It's that $7.5 million salary when Darius Slay and Xavier Howard, et cetera, are making close to 20, or Jalen Ramsey are making close to 20. And even though there's an age difference, there's a performance difference. But to me, the Patriots have changed their team so drastically through free agency that they have to look at themselves as legitimate contenders. And as that, you can't trade away one of the five best corners in the league and say, sorry, we just couldn't give him the number he wanted.
Do you think that it is a couple years that Stephon Gilmore is looking for? Like, will Gilmore be reasonable, you think, Tommy, in terms of an extension? Or is he going to be like, well, yeah, 5 years, and hell, 5 years down the road, I'm still going to be a top corner. Like, how do the Patriots break the cycle with that guy?
Here's the thing, and I can't guess, because I haven't spoken to Steph, obviously, in a year and a half. And when we did speak, it was cordial, but he's not opening a book to me.
Right.
I do understand this by talking to people around him. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, with the conversation about trades last year. Did we speculate on it and it gained momentum and got into his kitchen and bothered him? Or were the Patriots, because if you looked at the the writing on the wall in November, early late October, the Patriots generally operate that way, move on from a guy. But it was an extreme distraction to him, and I think he was hurt by it. But at the same time, he wants to stay here and be paid the way other guys are paid. The market has changed. His contract, he believes, is obsolete, but he's also coming off an injury. So there's a lot at play there. I think that there's probably a lot of saving face that could happen in that situation. Mm. But I would imagine two guys, they have to figure out if he's healthy, and they have to figure out what he wants, and that would probably be best done in June, July, and August.
Do you think Julio Jones ultimately gets traded? And if so, should the Patriots inquire?
I don't think anybody has that space right now for $15 million this year. Played 9 games last year. Talked to Rodney Harrison about this a fair amount yesterday. I don't think that he gets traded. I mean, you're at 4 overall. They are hosed against the cap, but you can still have. They don't have enough money to sign their draft class, Atlanta. But take Kyle Pitts, marry him with Julio Jones this year, figure it out with some of these cap numbers, and go have a year. Go try and attack it, because you're not going to have the opportunity to take a future Hall of Fame wide receiver slash tight end in the near future. He is Julio Jones. He is Calvin Johnson. So take him now. And leave Julio alone. Leave Julio alone.
There you go. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston breaking it all down. Tommy, thank you, friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Next time, you too. Have fun on Thursday night. WEI's draft coverage is presented by Zudy.